Please join us in welcoming Senator J.D. Vance from the great state of Ohio.
Good evening, everybody. Wow. Well, I have so much to say, but first, let me offer a word of gratitude to Rabbi Margaretin. Am I getting that right? This great organization. And thanks to all of you for being such a great crowd. What an incredible welcome to have here in New York. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I know you do a lot of work with folks who have been incarcerated, with bringing them back into the world. We believe in a God who is a God of second chances, right? And we want to support people. Maybe they made the wrong decision the first time, but the second time they're going to get it right. They're going to get it right with all of your help. So thank you all for what you do for the recently incarcerated, getting them back into society and giving them a second chance. It's just so important, and it speaks to your heart. We want families to be able to start. We want families to be able to grow, and we're going to fight for it every step of the way. And I'm so proud of what all of you stand for. And in America, we love the Jews, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people, on the regular chat? Yesterday, I took a break because I was shook by the Trump assassination attempt. I realized that it kind of put me in a state of war, in a state of anxiety, and I wasn't able to sleep the night before. Now, I've recovered sleep. I slept very well this night. Now I'm getting back into the game, but it was shaking. It was shocking, this Trump assassination attempt. But let's not forget that someone being subject to an assassination attempt is not a rational reason to be fully enthusiastic with his platform. The worries about his platform are still the same as they were before the assassination attempt. And I'm slowly recovering my rationality there and getting out of this state of anxiousness and feeling attacked. I felt attacked. I felt that the country was attacked, that I was attacked, that the right wing was attacked in this assassination attempt. But now today we learned that J.D. Vance will be the vice president pick of Trump. It's not looking good from a geopolitical standpoint. Now, he's okay on social conservatism, except on the perhaps legal immigration issue. You know, he's kind of a conservative guy. At least there's that. my camera is a little bit angled here. Let me fix it. Yeah, so he's kind of a social conservative, but in terms of the military-industrial complex, his relationship to Israel, his relationship to having been a military, the fact that he went at Yale University and he's fully part of the system because he went to study law at Yale, married an Indian woman studying law at Yale too, who was a clerk for the Supreme Court. We're talking about someone very invested and embedded within the system and who gives himself allures of hillbilly. But, you know, when he pulled this whole speech, I was super worried because they put some cowboy music and they made it look like hillbilly American visual style, and I was like, what are they trying to pull here? What am I being sold? And you guys know how much I hate Nashville people and the fake cowboy trend. Yeah, fake trad, says new guy. And Naberius has read the Hillbilly Elegy book of J.D. Vance. Again, it's a book that perhaps most people who hear about this book may never read it and understand J.D. Vance is a hillbilly. But actually, Naberius, who read the book, told us on the regular chat before the show began that apparently it's a book that criticizes American hillbillies for not taking their lives in their hands, for not going to the city to study at universities. So we're talking about a man who's buying into the system, and we will do a full review of what people reproach to the guy. But so, okay, we have some kind of family-oriented conservative. I would say he's very close from a DeSantis in many ways. DeSantis has this military access to him. On the other side, he's a social conservative at the family level, but not at the demographics level. And J.D. Vance has made a lot of positive statements about legal migration, about Jews, about Israel, that in the end, what we're going to get is on the geopolitical side, we get nothing. It's a total loss. It means that Trump has moved on from any sort of charming of the American true right and America first from a geopolitical standpoint. On the side of social conservatism domestically, we're not going to get a firing of bureaucrats. He's out there already in an interview saying, you know, I'm inspiring myself from Viktor Orban. And Viktor Orban didn't banish the universities. Instead, he forced them to become a little more right-wing. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the institutional capture will be a little less obvious under a J.D. Vance. That is a big problem because, you know, if you're watching my show and I know and our circles know just how much the enemy is willing to live as a parasite hidden at times, how much the left doesn't care. The left will even embrace the J.D. Vance strategy. Oh, yeah, let's stop DEI. Let's stop hiring white people at a 0% rate and let's give them 30%. But the system continues its march toward leftist and institutional capture. Complete leftist institutional capture. And what we needed is someone like Vivek, someone who's at war with institutions. We don't have this at all. We have the contrary of it, and it's a sign that Trump has not been inspired by God, as, you know, Nick Fuentes was praying that the assassination attempt would kind of wake up Trump, would give him an awakening straight from God. It didn't happen, and we are still in a very bad stance. Now, before we reach the J.D. Vance review, a couple of reviews about the recent discussions around the Trump assassination attempt. Before someone says the experts of the American Security Service totally respected the rules in establishing a security bubble around Trump. It is the Pac-Man rule, for those who don't know sniper work and SWAT work. You have to establish a Pac-Man circle of security. Here, Trump was right here. Trump was on the stage, and you see they have totally within the laws, they have respected a full Pac-Man shape of security that covered any point. It just turned out that the shooter was located in the Pac-Man mouth. And so what I suggest going forward is we have to switch from the Pac-Man model to the circular model of security bubbles. The Pac-Man doesn't work. We didn't know. Everyone thought that the Pac-Man model worked. Full circle security. says Ty Odyssey. This is what we should be aiming for. 340 million Americans. This is one of our best candidates to protect the leading candidate to be president. Gentlemen, I remind you that if you want to be misogynist, I understand. If you guys want to be hateful of women on the workplace, you want to mock, you know, the liberal standards of the modern world, and you are for women going back to the kitchen, preparing you a sandwich, I get it. But understand the consequences of your desires. You're going to have to have sex with this woman. And so we cannot fully enact the far-right, misogynist, state-imposed girlfriend until we find a volunteer. We need a volunteer to have sex. You have to be pleasing this woman 3 times a week minimum across the year. Never down. I'm exaggerating here, and people are pointing out that she's wearing a body armor, so perhaps it's she's looking inflated, and it's not even from fat, it is from being protected. But she has been memeing a lot because she had problems putting her gun back in her holster, and she was also in a team of what seems to be especially female operative team, because you could see that everyone around the president, when they got him into the car after the shooting, they were all guys and they were all very affaired. Like they look like they have a goal and they just perform that goal. Most of them were probably protective meat in the case of an incoming bullet. So they were just around the president, wrapping him. But you have these three women, and you see two of them here. And these women, they I think that people are judging them way too harsh. But they look ridiculous. They look lost. They look like they care about the style of their sunglasses in their actions. Look at this. Let me play this. Okay, so you could see that, okay, they have their role here in kind of pushing out potential incoming assaults. Now here, this is the moment where this woman will go into history for having difficulty putting her gun in her holster. And look at what she's going to do. She's going to decide to keep the gun out because it's looking too bad. So here she has problems putting it back.
Again, for anyone just joining.
So here she says, all right, I'm going to just keep it out. And look now at this woman. This is funny. She's going to turn around like a cartoonish superstar. And with an attitude, is going to put her sunglasses on.
Joining us, former President Trump was just in the middle of a speech. This is his last campaign round.
Look at her turning. So she taps on the Jeep, signaling, okay, the door is closed. We got the president in.
Before the
and now she puts her sunglasses.
Republican National Convention, he just had to be.
And it's like she replaces her T-shirt. And it's done with style. And this has alarmed a lot of people. Why do we have woman in secret agent service position? Now, the kind of normie-friendly way that they found to bring the concern, and Elon Musk has done this, and there's even a journalist who asked to the White House press correspondents, they say, should we hire women? They are smaller, so they block less bullets. And okay, that's the normie-friendly way, because you can kind of get away with saying this without looking like a misogynist. You can say, oh, well, it's their size. They just don't qualify. They just don't block enough bullets. If you could be a big, big woman, maybe we could hire you. But really, it's a way to pass beside the real discussion. The real discussion is if she has trouble putting the gun back in her holster, and if she's placing her t-shirt like this, are they really fit to potentially be the critical person on whom you rely to make a shot that is super tough to make, to try to shoot an an evil agent in a crowd of innocents? That's the problem. And no one wants to ask this question, so they go for the normie-friendly side question. Swar God says, don't forget, JD is also receiving awards from the chosen people for his great efforts in helping to pass the First Step Act, aka letting people out of prison so they can rape and kill your family act. Okay, so I do know that he's been speaking for second chances. The problem with second chances is the people you give these second chances to don't deserve it, and society is better with these people locked away. Trump shooter reported by Disclose.tv. The Trump shooter was spotted on the roof by law enforcement nearly 30 minutes before the shooting. So those are some of the news that have emerged today. This morning, a new video giving a better insight into the amount of time we had. From just a Secret Service perspective, there were dozens of people who were yelling and who knew that a shooting was about to happen. And you can see them doing so for more than 30 seconds. And so from a security standpoint, if you had someone with a walkie-talkie with access to the main security team who would have been capable of triggering an event of the kind, let's go and grab Trump and throw him on the floor before he gets shot, this could have happened. This could have happened if you look at this video.
Look, they're all pointing.
So these people have already seen the shooter, and they're saying, look, he's pointing. Look, he's pointing. And this guy has already probably warned some policemen close to him. Now it's time to take your walkie-talkies and to get to the highest controller that you can, so that they can stop the speech right now.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is.
Someone's on top of the roof. There he is.
Right there. Right there. See him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And you see, there's a circle of a lot of people have, and you can see a policeman is kind of walking in that direction. So everyone was alarmed that there's a guy crawling.
What's happening? Yeah, look, there he is.
Because we have millions and millions officer. Of people in our country.
Someone says, officer. And he's just placing himself and everything.
Dangerous people. Criminals. We have criminals.
He's on the roof.
We have people
right
that should
here.
Not be here.
Right here. Right on the roof.
It's much tougher than it is.
Right here. He's on the roof. So you really just didn't have coverage of this area by apparently anyone who had direct access to the walkie-talkie line. And, just because it's outside of the official ceremony, it's still a place you have to watch, because this is happening right here, and the crowds are set up about here. So this is happening behind and outside of the official perimeter, but definitely into something where if you had an agent there with a walkie-talkie or something, could have stopped the speech before any shooting happens. Meanwhile, people we don't have yet enough information about the psychological profile of Thomas Crook to make a final assessment. So I'll keep that for a future show. But I can still talk about what is being discussed. One very bizarre fact. A commercial by BlackRock featured this shooter when he was young. In 2023, the video was released. Maybe it was filmed a couple of years before. I don't know. But very weird. BlackRock barely does any sort of commercials or public presence. You know, it's a huge just pension fund and accumulator of money. And somehow they do a commercial and the shooter of Trump happens to be in it.
My name is Brian DeLallo. I teach AP and honors economics in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So there he was, right there. This is the shooter in a school. Now, how do you end up in that take? You can end up in that take out of absolute random. Or you can end up in that take because the teacher who accepted the BlackRock contract to film this ad, or maybe he's not even a real teacher, or he's a real teacher, but somehow he's linked to BlackRock because his cousin or his uncle works at BlackRock, and maybe he's linked to the little kids that he used to illustrate kids in the ads. Are these actors, or is this an actual class? Everything is possible. But if it's per random, if this guy, like, how are you a kid and you end up in a BlackRock ad? I would think it's something like my father works for BlackRock, or my father is a psychologist and one of his customers is a BlackRock employee or CEO or whatever. You know, there has to be a link here. We should investigate how this guy ended up in BlackRock. Meanwhile, there's also conversation around the religious identity and ethnic identity of the shooter. And we have Keith Woods, who has done an analysis because the internet was getting excited. And in fact, I wanted so much response to this, the question of whether this shooter is Jewish, that I retweeted some of those tweets, not in the sense of saying, I know that he's Jewish, but in the sense of saying, can we have some answers from the father here? Because it's kind of important how he identifies. So people on the internet started comparing pictures of this shooter with this picture, which has been taken at a synagogue in Butler, I believe, wherever it is that this guy lives close from. And it does, there is a resemblance between the guy in the BlackRock ad, which is said to be Thomas Crook, and this guy at the synagogue with a yarmulke on his head. However, Keith Woods has looked at other angles that we have from the guy that we know to be in the synagogue, and it seems that from another angle, he seems like he has a more fatty face, and from that angle, he looks less like Thomas Crook. So Thomas Crook has a pointy jaw structure and not super fat on the cheek. This guy is fatter on the cheek. So people have been saying, well, based on one angle, they resemble each other, but it's from these other angles, it does seem like it's another person. I didn't have a strong position. I think that people have been mostly siding with Keith Woods. I don't have a strong position because nose different, ear different. Let me tell you, I've seen people argue this on a picture of Jeff Epstein. I've seen people say, oh no, the ear of Jeff Epstein is totally different. And it did look very different. But it still was Jeff Epstein and it still was a photo of Jeff Epstein. So I don't believe in these analyses because there can be time distance, there can be angle distance, There can be the person is in a different physiological state, has a different posture. There can be so much things that make you look fat in a picture or not fat in a picture, even including changing that can change the appearance of your nose, your ear. I'm not going to throw myself into a declaration on this. I am just interested in the questioning and the investigation. These people are mentally deranged, a compilation of people who wanted Trump to be killed.
John Wilkes Booth, if you can hear us, if you are with us, please, please, John Wilkes Booth, if you're listening, please.
Let me get this straight. Dumbass! You have a fully reloaded shotgun, but you chose to use a one bullet.
We're not even sending our best to fucking assassinate. Cause what the hell was that? Lee Harvey Oswald would never, bitch. John Wilkes Booth would never.
Today was like this close to being the best day ever.
Also, the person that at Trump at his rally was exercising that right that all those Republicans were fighting for, so.
All right, so not surprising, and they may be inspired by Destiny. Destiny is making the rounds for his provocative statements, where it's not surprising to me. I started ignoring Destiny 7 years ago. That's how long it's been that I haven't cared about what this guy talks about or says. Destiny, I remember him as a very disloyal, dishonest betrayer who first invited me on his show, and he was super happy about what I was delivering and he was treating me right. And we did 3 shows together. He invited me 3 times. When you're a streamer and you invite someone back 3 times, it's because that person is delivering, and I was delivering. But then he realized that I was too right-wing to his taste. He realized that I wasn't pro-Jewish. And he started campaigns of hit pieces and harassment against me and started encouraging journalists to write hit pieces about me. And and most importantly, in our last interaction, which at this point I wasn't really interacting much with him, but he came on Warski Live and I was a co-host there, I challenged him because he said that something I said about race, you know, I just made a statement about races, which is obviously true. It was about intelligence being linked to races. And he said, I have to go study to answer your question because it's too technical. And he says, I'm going to go study and then I will come back and debate you because I don't think it's true. And it was a very basic statement, elementary race differs, IQ differs type of statement. And he never came back. He never came back. He ran away and started these harassment campaigns. And, you know, they were flooding our servers. They were flooding our Discord servers, these Destiny fans. And they were coming to make trouble and get us banned. A very dirty person. So I'm not surprised today that he's celebrating the shooting of Trump. And he's telling to people who are alarmed at the fact that, hey, we are into political violence here. Someone here had his mom. His mom had her shirt bloodied coming back from the Republican Party meet up, and he says to him, don't ever come back, tell your friend and his mom to get fucked. And he's making all sorts of statements like there was with this Jack Black Tenacious D performance. How is this uninteresting, disgusting person that Jack Black is, how is it that there are people in a crowd who pay to see him, who pay to see this kind of shit?
Don't miss Trump next time.
So this guy wishes Don't miss Trump next time. And he blows on candles. That's his wish for his birthday. So sad. And it's so sad that these people have been put forward. They have been put forward by the pro-Israel Democratic side. You know, Nick Fuentes was pointing out, when you see Destiny gloat over the murder of innocent Trump supporters, never forget that he was warmly received by Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson because he was the only prominent liberal who supported Israel after October 7th. So it's really all that it is, you know? They don't care about how low-life scum you are. They will get you on your show, on their show, if you support Israel. That's what leads a destiny to be welcomed by these gatekeepers of the public space. Destiny spent the past day justifying the attempted murder of Donald Trump and gloating about the actual murder of his supporters. Since he came out as a staunch supporter of Israel last year, figures like Lex Fridman, Piers Morgan, Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro and others have hosted Destiny for amicable discussions, presenting him as a respected political analyst. And here he is saying, at least you're too fat to miss, you subhuman, hypocritical piece of shit. If we learned anything today, it's that it's not only good to have a firearm, you must also practice with it at the range. Here he's implying that the shooter failed to acquire proper practicing. So what a sad state for Destiny. But it doesn't matter. This guy has been pushed by the mainstream, by the Ben Shapiro, the Daily Wire, Lex Fridman, Jordan Peterson, because he just sides with Israel. That is how you do in this business. That is how you acquire support and audiences. Let's talk about J.D. Vance and about what's about to happen. I've already delivered some thought at the beginning of the show. We are talking about a sad development because what it means is that Trump will be perhaps less extremist than even his first presidency was. And that is a big error. That is a big error. You must double down, especially after America has shown all of the violence that it's capable against the right wing. After it has shown it was willing to submit its legal system to persecute you. After it was shown that it's willing to use guns to kill you. You should be radicalizing yourself if you're Trump. But it's not what we're seeing. We're seeing the exact opposite. He's going for J.D. Vance, and I don't have confidence that J.D. Vance is radical enough to fix America. He's not radical enough on immigration. He's not radical enough on his history with Trump, because this is a man who in 2016 was comparing Trump to Hitler. That is where we are. The next vice president of the U.S. was calling Trump Hitler-like in 2016, like a leftist. That is the situation. And so he may be able to bark some conservative talking points here and there. But how do you end up calling Trump Hitler and criticizing him for his immigration statements in 2016. How do you end up there and be a conservative? Stephen Robinson says, JF is not a black-pilled enough on Trump. Well, I'm doing my best here. I'm dropping black pills on Trump every day. I'm here talking to you about how dark the situation is right now. So sorry if it's not enough for you. I don't know what else to do. The situation is dark. Do you understand?
dealing with the left-wing domination of universities is Viktor Orban's approach in Hungary. I think his way has to be the model for us, not to eliminate universities, but to give the choice between survival or taking a much less biased approach to teaching.
A much less biased approach. You have to understand that you are at war with a parasitic enemy force, as far as university, academia, media, institutions as a whole. You cannot take an enemy. I mean, this guy must understand this as a military guy. You cannot say, if you're at war against Vietnam, you cannot say, oh, let's try to have Vietnamese soldiers that are much less likely to shoot our way. That is not how you do war. You need to eliminate the threat. You cannot wish for a threat that sends bullet your way less probabilistically. It's not a question of probability. It's that you have an enemy. It's that the enemy will try everything it can until it dies to kill you. That is the situation of the liberal capture of institution. And if you ask them to do cosmetic changes, you know what the problem is? They will do it. They will do it because they are a force that is capable to learn and evolve. A parasitic force. That's what I mean. I mean, just like viruses, they can acquire resistance. And so you're going to have your elementary school teachers across the nation telling each other, all right, those are the points we can't hit on. Remember, we shouldn't have a LGBT flag in the classroom. We shouldn't have this. We shouldn't have that. But then everything else is permitted. That is how little children think when they have an authoritarian parent. It's like, oh, okay, you told me rule one, rule two, rule three. I can do anything else. The other day, I was walking, and one person on my street, they have a child, and they were kind of walking outside of the boundaries of the land of that neighbor. And, you know, I was just checking that the child was not hurting himself, but it's like, okay, a child is just stepping over the limit. And his mom came out and said, don't get out of our grass. Don't step onto the grass of other people. And she said, don't step onto the roadway. Don't step onto the driveway of other people. And the kid said, okay, mom. And the mom went back inside. And I saw the kids, he looked at me, and he said, do not step over the driveway of other people. And the kid just went straight to go into the land that wasn't owned by his mom, and he started walking on grass. You could see each step that he was doing on grass, he was looking at me, and he was like, I am not walking on the driveway. I am not walking on the driveway. he went super far because he had interpreted the rule given by his mother as, okay, I cannot step on driveways, but I can get out of the land by walking only on grass. And he took the grass route and totally went far from his home. All of this to say, when you give a negative rule for a cosmetic change, children will try to find ways around. And liberals are children. Liberals are children, for sure. They have the cognitive psychology of children. If you tell them, don't use the LGBT flag in classes, don't talk about anal sex to 6 years old, they're going to talk about anal sex to 7 years old. They're just going to take your limit and say, okay, that's the word from the top. What can we do around it to get to the same result? Because ultimately, you're fighting a cultural war that will be led to death to death. Because the liberal plan is to eliminate whiteness. And if you tell them you can't eliminate whiteness by teaching 7 years olds about anal sex, they're going to say, well, okay, we can teach 11 years old about anal sex. And they're going to negotiate their way up to having the same effect as they did. So that's why you don't maintain the university network. That's why you do like Vivek proposed. You slash through. You slash through the bureaucracy. You cut every funds. And then at the end, maybe you say, all right, we do need one janitor to keep this place clean, but that's it. You cut everything. And then you repair little by little. You rebuild from scratch. The new presidency of the United States of Israel, Donald Trump, and J.D. Vance. This is what we have. And you can see by who is happy about it, you can see how bad it is, the current situation. Michael J. Knowles. J.D. Vance is a perfect pick. He's intelligent, right-minded, and politically impressive. That's what we deserve. Right-minded. We have a right-minded centrist Israeli as a VP. Well, he's right-minded. And the Daily Wire celebrating this tells you everything you need to know about this. This is a complete switch of Trump trying to win the election with the support of the centrist pro-Israel establishment. In 2016, Vance was an outspoken critic of Republican nominee Donald Trump. In February 2016, he wrote that Trump's actual policy proposals, such as they are, range from immoral to absurd. He called Trump cultural heroin and an opioid of the masses. He called Trump reprehensible in a post on Twitter and called himself a never-Trump guy. In a private message on Facebook, he called Trump America's Hitler. So see, this whole is an opioid of the masses. You know who that reminds me of? It reminds me of the fake elevated content that you can get from a Bronze Age pervert. It reminds me of these fake elitist kind of, we're anonymous, but we're kind of coming from the university network. You guys are too low for us. What about your meat calorie intake, bro? What about your raw egg intake, bro? And when you look at who he follows on Twitter, it's exactly this. J.D. Vance is a fanboy of the Israeli subversive anonymous Twitter account. This guy is following the whole synagogue, says Incel Sponge. Emmy Terrez, Richard Anania, Scott Greer, Bronze Age Pervert, Ben Braddock, Rug Colors Press, Steve Saylor, James Lindsay, Lomez, Fisher King, Second City Bureaucrat. He has them all on his Twitter and he writes like them and he thinks like them. This is really bad. DEI is the real racism. A talking point that subscribes to the idea that racism is wrong. DEI is racism, plain and simple. It's time to outlaw it nationwide, starting with the federal government. It's like, okay, if it can result in more white people being hired, sure, but it's very small. It's very small. You're going to get white people back in a system that hates them. And you're going to get back in a system where they are brainwashed into don't rape type of corporate videos. And you see who's celebrating and you're worried. Christopher Rufo. The difference between Trump 2016 and Trump 2024 is that there is now an emerging right-wing counter elite with sufficient knowledge, wealth, power, and prestige to advance the president's agenda through the institutions, Trump 2.0 will be an order of magnitude more effective. Trump 1.0 was not effective precisely because he trusted people who were not radical enough. And you guys don't seem to be very radical. You guys seem to be in the line of Ron DeSantis, let's throw a couple of bones to the crowd, a couple of conservative bones that can satisfy them superficially, but that cannot fundamentally change the direction of the country. And what's the direction of the country? It goes in the direction of Brown. And J.D. Vance, among his many other points of worries and red flags, is married to a Yale law graduate who worked for the Supreme Court and who's Indian. And he has an Indian baby with her. Nick Ferrantes was delivering how he's worried about J.D. Vance and why.
A lot of problems with J.D. Vance. Problem number one, he went to Yale Law School, which is a big red flag. If you're from the Ivy Leagues, particularly if you're from the Ivy League law schools, that means you're part of the same club as George W. Bush and John Kerry and Barack Obama and all the Supreme Court justices and most of the people in Congress and the Senate and in the federal judiciary. And if you're at the elite Ivy League law schools, you're in the club. Or at the least, it should be suspected that you're in the club. Red flag number one. Red flag number two, he was in the military. Red flag number three, he was not only not in favor of Trump in 2016, he was anti-Trump. He said that Trump was an idiot, all kinds of other negative things about Trump. What's more, he not only was not pro-Trump, he was not even just anti-Trump. He backed Evan McMullen, who was a CIA operative who ran for president in Utah and served as a spoiler candidate to sink the Trump candidacy and give the White House to Hillary Clinton in 2016. So all of that taken together is very, very bad. Yale Law School, military, didn't support.
Very, very bad. And he goes on, of course, Nick Ferrantes, amazing content. A lot to be worried about. He is following Kostan Alamaryu, as reported by AF Post. J.D. Vance follows Thiel-affiliated Kostan Alamaryu, Bronze Age Mantis on X. This is a victory of a wing of social conservatism that is extremely pale, that is extremely centrist, that we should have seen coming, that the enterprise of subversion of the Bronze Age perverts of this world may not have been to the audience. It may have been toward the top. What I mean by this is Bronze Age pervert doesn't just appeal to an audience and drains audience toward a gatekeeping role. He's also projecting an impression of power, an impression that, hey, there is this network of right-wing people who will support you if you can talk to them and if you can pick a J.D. Vance. And these people have won today. They have won the idea of being selected by Trump as opposed to the true right, which has been active since 2016, cheering for Donald Trump. So that's why it's a very sad situation today. On white supremacy, J.D. Vance states the following. White supremacy is a vile and destructive ideology that has no place in American society. We must confront and condemn it in all of its forms. It's critical that we acknowledge the threat posed by white supremacist groups and take concrete steps to combat their influence and actions. We need to promote a culture of inclusion and equality, rejecting the divisive and hateful rhetoric of white supremacy. The fight against white supremacy requires a united effort from all Americans, regardless of background, to uphold our values of justice and equality. Addressing white supremacy involves not only law enforcement, but also education and community engagement to root out this hatred at its source. In the end, it's not dramatic. Bitcoin is doing great. It seems to be headed back toward high prices. So personally, you know, I'm going to enrich myself from this Trump-centrist presidency. But I think we will be faced with the same problems down the line. And we don't have here a right-wing fix. So I can celebrate at the personal level when I see Bitcoin has moved from 58K back to 64.7K now. Hopefully we... New guy says, lol, and now you suck us into the Bitcoin. I mean, it's all I can be celebrating about, because what we have is very much in line with the tradition of the Republican Party in the end, which is to put a George Bush-like type of guy, which is a fake hillbilly that graduated from a Ivy League school, and that fucks America by operating a devastating geopolitical direction of a program. Neocon 2.0, says DK Shadow. That's exactly what we have. It's like we've hit so hard against the neocon that they had to build a neocon 2.0 and make it look like it's a whole new thing, but no, it's the same old, same subversion, same interest. And let's not forget what J.D. Vance said, and we will leave with this, the statements of J.D. Vance on the vaccine. He wanted to impose the vaccine on nurses. American hospitals are overwhelmed. It's time to take this seriously. As a start, let's fire thousands of nurses who refuse to get the vaccine. That will help. People are reporting this statement. I'm wondering, was this a joke? Was he being sarcastic? Sometimes sarcasm doesn't pass super well on the internet. Or was he actually saying this? I don't know, but I mean, even if he had the right position on the vaccine, that would be a very small consolation given the rest of his alignment. That is it for tonight, Buzz. If you'd like to support the show, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar for monthly support. The show needs your support to keep going. The links are in the description below. Or send some crypto. The links to crypto donations, the addresses are in the description below. Much love.